It's all, eh? Sets our jaws in motion. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. A very warm welcome to you on this beautiful day. There are a lot of people away, but it's lovely to see some visitors with us. And a very special welcome if you're visiting with us today. Now, this is our first Sunday, so just let me explain that the service format doesn't follow the normal order. We try to worship today as a family, so our children will stay in. There's no Sunday school. Rather than a creche facility or the kids always having to go out, we've started a new venture this morning on the instigation of my dear wife. And anybody with younger children now, there's relevant materials for them over there, and a table, etc., so that they can stay in and actually be part of the service and not have to go out. So if you've got little ones that are finding it difficult to concentrate, then by all means, feel free. And just in future weeks, if that corner could be left clear for families. I know there's a great love of sitting in the back seats and the back rows. If that particular corner could be left clear for those with young children, we greatly appreciate it. This morning we celebrate communion together following this service, and then there'll be an opportunity to share in fellowship with tea and coffee downstairs afterwards. Our thought for today that we're going to be looking at is the Bible as the Word of God and what it actually is and how we might use it. So I've taken this morning as our call to worship. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we should have had that. There we go. Thank you very much, Megan. Let's pray together and commit this time to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for each other, that you have drawn us together as a family in Christ. We thank you that it is He that we share in common with each other. We want to pray now, Lord, that you would bless our time together. We think of numerous people that will be away today. We pray your blessing upon them. We lift them before you, Lord, giving you thanks for them and for each other. We pray now that you would take our time together, Lord, that your Spirit would be poured out upon us, and that all we do, say, think, and sing would bring glory and honour to the name of Jesus, and in so doing, glorify you, our Heavenly Father. Amen. We're going to stand and sing, Lord, I Come Before Your Throne of Grace, 1087, if you're using a book.
Yes. beautiful in every way.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. When we ask ourselves, what is the Bible? Maybe the best place to go for the answer is to the book itself. And so if Megan would put up the quotation from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The ways in which scripture can be used, can be applied in our lives, and the purpose for that, and we should never forget that. We're simply not learning the Bible rote for the sake of learning it. We're not learning it in order that in some way we might increase our understanding intellectually. We're learning it in order that we can apply it, and that in so doing, we will be equipping ourselves. Those who were with us last Sunday evening over at LEC, when Doug took us through the commandment on adultery, Doug reminded us that the Bible is not a rule book in the sense of closing us down, but that it's actually a user manual to enable us to live life the way God wants us to. And I find that illustration very helpful. And as I was reflecting on it during the week, you've met my phone before. It's the posh version. Stop you laughing. This is a lovely phone. But this phone, I'm not very good with phones, I have to confess. I can just about read texts. I want to be able to speak to people, and I want to be able to hear people when they speak to me. But the truth is that this phone does all sorts of things that I didn't know it could do. Now, in our house, we have a bad record with alarm clocks. They tend to be the victim of the odd straying arm or the odd slap. And so they tend to get broken very, very easily. But I got really excited the other week when I broke my alarm clock, and I had been up late and I had to be up early. And I thought, how am I going to get myself up? And I suddenly discovered that my telephone actually has an alarm on it. And I tell you, it is a great alarm. It's amazing. It's one of those alarms you just reach out, touch it, and it lets you sleep for another 5 minutes, and then it goes off again. And it doesn't seem to annoy me. I love it. But you see, the truth is, if I had read the book when I got the phone, I would have known all the different things that this phone could do. And I still don't know the half of it. And you know, the reality is that we live our lives like that, outside of the blessing of God, because we haven't read the user's instruction. We haven't read the manual that he has given us to equip us, to draw us unto himself. God uses his word to guide us. He uses it to comfort us. He uses us to challenge us. And he uses it to convict us, and we don't always like that. And very often we try to cover our ears and run away from that. But the key is this: God will always be using his word to draw you and I closer to him. That is the whole purpose of it, and to make us more like Jesus. Now, the Bible instructs us to pray. It tells us that our sin has separated us from God. It tells us that that sin hinders the relationship that we have with God. But it also tells us that if we confess that sin, God is faithful and will forgive it. And not only forgive it, he will remember it no more. So we're going to spend a little bit of time together praying. I thought, given the state that the world's in at the moment, that we would use the prayer of Francis of Assisi that was written so long ago. So let's read this prayer together. And then afterwards, I'll give us some thoughts, and then we'll just have a moment of quiet so that each of us can bring our concerns in that area before the Lord in prayer. But let's remain seated and read together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we begin by taking a moment to bring those things that would be a barrier and hinder our relationship with you. Father God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, and your forgiveness. But we would pray for your enabling, that you would strengthen us and help us not to fall in the same areas again and again. And Lord, again, in a moment of reflection, let each of us bring before you our concerns now for the world. We think of this flu epidemic, Lord. We think of the panic that it is causing in certain places. We think of financial concerns, Lord, and the very real panic that that is causing in certain places. We remember the wars and the troubled spots of this world. We think of those less fortunate than ourselves, Lord. We acknowledge that even though things are difficult at the moment, we still have so much to give you thanks for. Father God, we think of our nation. We lift our government before you, Lord, again this weekend, Lord. We see the backbiting and the infighting that is going on. We pray for integrity, Lord. We pray for generosity and humility in our leaders. We pray for wisdom and honesty and integrity. Father, we think of all those this week that will have received the news that their employment is to cease in the near future. We want to pray for families, Lord, that are struggling. I want to pray for wisdom, for discernment. Father, we think of your church. We think of the persecuted part of it throughout much of the world. That every day churches are being burnt and destroyed. That every day Christians are being martyred and imprisoned for their faith and their confession of Christ as Lord. We pray for your church in our land, Lord, that you would give us a freshness, a newness of spirit, a hunger and wisdom when it comes to reaching people with the love of Christ. And Father, as we think of our own personal situations, we bring before you those that are struggling with health. We bring before you those who are mourning, Lord, through the loss of loved ones. And we give you thanks this morning, Father God, that we are not without hope. That unlike many around us, we have Christ. We have your Spirit, and we have the promise of your word. Would you make all of those things very real to each one of us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing again. It's a new song. Shall we play this through once? Johnny, just we put the words up. And then you can follow through. Creation sings the Father's song. I'm sure that everybody that was Word Alive last week knows this. So Johnny will play it through and then we'll stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Do you know, I think we would all acknowledge when it comes to reading the Bible, it can be a bit daunting. It's a big book. If you were brought up on the Authorized Version as a child, as I was, it can be a very difficult book. It can be very hard to understand. And yet, if we are to know God's Word, we need to be in God's Word. And I really encourage people to get into a regular habit of reading it in a way that will take you through the whole Bible. And not just the once. That's a danger for many Christians. They read the Bible once, and then they think, that's it, I've done it. And they put it away. You see, because God's Word will speak to us with freshness again and again and again, regardless of how many times you've read it. I've lost count of the number of times that I've actually read it cover to cover. But I can promise you, for a man who spends his living in the Bible, in a sense, to one degree, it always speaks with freshness each day. And one of the things that the Bible tells us is that we need to store it up in our hearts in order that we've got what is required whenever things go wrong in life. We're talking about a flu virus at the moment, and we're talking about everybody having injections and getting immunized in relation to it. There is a sense, a very real sense, in which the Bible provides our immunization, if you like, for the world in which we live. If you've got the Word of God in your heart, it will lead you, it will guide you. But more importantly, when the life goes belly up, when things go wrong, you will have the Word of God there for God's Spirit to bring to you. I am often amazed when I get a verse of Scripture straight out of the blue, if I can use that expression, in a real moment of trial, a verse that just speaks right into my life and meets me right where I am. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to encourage you all. Has anybody here got a verse for life? Nobody's got a verse for life. What? That, thank you, Susanna. Well, I'm going to encourage all the rest of us to get a verse for life, because I think it's important that you have a verse that's yours. Now, to help the children or the young at heart, I've prepared a list of verses with each letter of the alphabet. And they'll be there for you to pick up afterwards. And I'll send all the ones who are young at heart, regardless of age, one by email, okay? I'm having serious printing problems at the moment, so forgive me on that. But there's enough here for all the younger ones to take away with them. And what I want you to do is to pick a verse or use one of these verses, but with your mums and dads, try and understand the verse. Try and understand what it's saying, who wrote it, where it was said, and in particular, how this verse can help you to follow Jesus the way God wants you to. Now, if I can just illustrate the way this actually works, that's helpful. I've done my own family. Megan, could I have the... So my name is Jim, and I have the verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, from Hebrews 13 and verse 8. And she doesn't know it yet, but I picked one for Debbie, and she begins with D. So we have Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And Kirsten, who's my eldest daughter, Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then for Kira, CJ, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So do we all see how that actually works? The idea is to pick a verse that has meaning and has purpose and has application and something that is going to be special to you. Now, we know that some people have difficulty because of the names that they have. So if your name is a little bit more difficult, then we pick a word that's in it, in the verse, but has meaning. For example, if it's Vicky, then I am the vine, you are the branches. is perfectly appropriate. And in the case of Zach, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so that's the way we want to do it. And what I would like the primary age children to do is, when you've learnt it, come and talk to Debbie and give her the verse, and she might have a surprise for you. Not today, but in the weeks that come ahead, when the little ones and the younger ones, and then some of you older ones, you're like, you'll get a hug. That's what you get. But if you've learnt your verse, and I would encourage you to actually share this in your house groups. Share it in your prayer groups. When you're talking to someone, let them know that you have picked this verse and why you have actually picked it. Now, with that in mind, we're going to sing again, and it's another new song, Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord. And so again, Johnny will take us through the verse, and then we will stand and sing. Thank you.
It's quite an easy song to say. If you'll stand, you'll just
stand. Is it? Thank you. Please be seated. Right, we're going to have another song now, but this one's of a different type. On the first Sunday of the month, at least, we like to practice a signing song. And we've a lot of people who put a lot of effort into this. And Liz, which Liz? Both Liz's? And Liz graciously changed the song this week for me so that it fits. But the word we're going to do is the opening text we had. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Should I? Do you want the children out? Could the children come up front for this?
We're just going to run through the sign song. It's one that our fellowship will know, but just for those who are visiting us and who are perhaps coming for the first few times here, it's the theme of our service, and it's I'll run through saying it to you. It's like an echo in the first verse, and the second verse is just sung through. So it's your word, that's the Bible, is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a light to my path. And then it's singing, I want to live my life your way. I want to trust you and obey. I will be happy if I stay living God's way. So let's sing.
Okay. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a light to my path. I want to live my life your way. I want to trust you and obey. I will be happy if I stay living God's way.
Do you want to do it once more?
Should we do it once more? Okay.
They're laughing at me repeating it, so I won't this time.
Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a light to my path. I want to live my life your way. I want to trust you and obey. I will be happy if I stay living God's way.
Jim, do you want them staying here or to go back?
Okay.
Thanks, Jenny. We're going to take up the offering for the Lord's work. I was just asked if Johnny, would you play something through for us? Father God, we acknowledge that all good things come from you, and we return these tithes and offerings as a token of what you have given to us. We pray for wisdom, discernment, and your leading and guiding for those with responsibility for their use, praying that Christ would be glorified. Amen. Now, you should have picked up a notice board on the way in, hopefully, and if not, there's plenty on the table, so pick one up on the way out. If I could just highlight a couple of things, please. The men's breakfast, I'm sorry, I've only got a sheet out this week, so do let us know if you're going to join us. We're having our own breakfast along with LEC, and this month we've also invited, as will be the custom from now on, the men from IPC as well have been invited to that breakfast as we look forward to Passion for Life. So If you would like to attend that, then let me know by email, but there is a sheet in the hall. And you can let me know up to Friday lunchtime, but I need to get the groceries on Friday evening for that. So let me know. Thank you. The other thing is the mission stand. Now, we've had a lot of work done on this by Alan. These are getting pretty hefty, hey? And he's put some new books out there. One of them is a Mission Sunday follow-up. So the different missions that we have each year on Mission Sunday, we don't want to have them once and then just forget about them. And our hope and prayer is that people will be encouraged to look in them and to follow up some of the missions that we actually have. Now, we have 3 or 4 years, so not everybody can do every mission. But if we're open to the Lord's leading, he will guide us on that. There is also, too, giving the people that we pray for who are working at home and the people who we pray for who are working overseas. And then he's done a new one, which is short-term mission opportunities. I immediately thought of all the young guys and anybody else that we might like to do one of those things. And then Alan pointed out that there's even one in here for the over 50s. If you might want to do a mission opportunity, it's high time. I suppose by the time you get to 50, it would be high time, wouldn't it? Okay, so those will be on the mission table. Please make use of them. Right, we're going to have our birthdays, and I understand, Megan, are you going to do the prayer for birthday? No, sorry, I apologise. That look of horror on Megan's face. I didn't hear about that. Okay, sorry, I got that wrong.
And we just want to remember for this week in our fellowship, on Monday it's Chris Banahan's birthday, on Tuesday Stephen Trevor's, and on Thursday Rob Deverell. And I just wonder if we could just say a short prayer for them. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for each one of these people in our fellowship. And we just thank you that each one is precious to you. And you know exactly how many hairs are on their heads, Lord. And you want to care for them and make, we pray that their days, their birthdays are special days. So we just remember them now and thank you for them. Amen.
Right, we're going to stand and sing again. 991 in Complete Mission Praise, I Will Worship.
I will worship.
you. Please be seated. The Bible can be used to encourage us and to challenge us and to be applied to us in a whole variety of different ways. We can look at it for older people. We can look at it for children. We can look at it for younger people. We can look at it for men. We can look at it for women. Our men's breakfasts are currently going through the life of Joseph and trying to discover how we can be men after God's own heart, just as Joseph was. So by looking at his life, we can draw encouragement from that. But I want to draw this part of the service to a close this morning with a verse for our young people in particular. I'm thinking of our older teenagers, those at college, those at high school. And let me share a verse from Timothy, written by Paul to a young pastor, 1 Timothy 4:12, and he said, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." There is an amazing challenge, not just for you young guys, but maybe particularly for you young guys at the point you're at in your lives, to take on board those words of Paul. Making a difference, identifying with Jesus in the public domain is not easy. I became a Christian in an infantry regiment, and I'm well aware of how hard it can be. But the truth is this, the easiest way for you to make a difference in life, a real difference, at school, at college, or indeed on a sports pitch, is to apply this simple truth that Paul gives to Timothy. Now, in the army, we had a motto that we used to indoctrinate our recruits with. They would sing it morning and evening, and it was, "Be the best." And you know, the truth is, we should be seeking to be the best for Christ in everything we do, whether that's playing rugby, football, going out with our mates on a Friday or Saturday night. We should seek to be the best. But if you're going to do that effectively for Christ, I want to suggest that you're going to need to do one more thing. You're going to need to dare to be different. We live in a world where we're encouraged to conform, and yet there is so much individualism in it. But I would really encourage you to seek God's face, to know God's will, to know God's ways, to apply those things in our lives, and to do so with assurance. You see, Timothy was told not to let anyone look down on him because of his age, because of his godly manner and attitude. And the truth is, so many of you young people can be an example to us older people. The interesting thing was, when I was converted, I was a very senior sergeant major. When I came back to my regiment, there was a young man in my regiment called Billy Wade, and he was a ranger. He was a Buckshee private soldier. I had just been converted, and Billy had been a Christian for several years. And the interesting thing was, although I was the boss in terms of work, he was my boss spiritually. And you know, I learned so much from watching that young man, how he lived his life in the barrack room amongst everybody else. And he followed me into the ranks of Sazra, and he's now pastoring a church in Germany. But I thank God for that young man, because he was a witness to me, and it was his life that helped me. So don't ever feel that because you're young, you've got nothing to offer. You've got everything that God gives you to offer. And we want to pray that God will bless you in that sense. Let's pray as we prepare to come before the Lord's table. Father God, I want to give you thanks for this morning. Thanks for the songs we've sang, for the prayers we've said. But in this closing thought, Lord, I want to think in particular of our young people. We acknowledge, Lord, that they live in a world that is very different to the one that many of us grew up in. The temptations and the distractions in life today, Lord, are an abundance in real terms. And we want to pray for each of our young people, Lord. And we remember those that are currently away at university, are studying at college. We want to pray, Lord, that the truth of Paul's words to Timothy would be theirs, that you would enable them and equip them in their speech, in their life, in their love, in their faith, and in their purity to dare to be different and be the best for our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to come to the Lord's table in a moment. And just for the benefit of our visitors, I want to say that we practice an open table. If you know and love the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, we would encourage you to break bread with us this morning as we remember his sacrifice for us. If you're not in that position, please don't feel awkward or difficult in any way. When the bread and wine comes around, simply let it pass. There's nobody here going to judge anyone, because there's none of us come to this table because we're worthy. We come because we're unworthy and because we need to. And for any children that are with us, we like our younger people to have spoken to an elder before they receive from the Lord's table. But we're going to turn our hearts now to the cross. And I want us to sing 511. We'll remain seated and we'll sing this through twice. O Lord, your tenderness. Let me just share some verses from Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I'm going to ask Owen if he will play a song. We sang at Easter, The Power of the Cross. And this is played by Christine Geddy. And as this plays through, it's about 5 minutes. Let's use it to remind ourselves of what we're doing as we come to this table this morning, and the reality of the power that was being realized on that cross. Thank you, Owen.
Thank you.
acknowledge and give thanks for the bread and wine, and after which I would ask the two couples that I've asked to join me to come up. Father God, what wonderful words, what amazing truth, that his blood should be shed for the likes of us. And Father, we just bow before you now. We open our hearts with thankfulness. We pray, Lord, that in our obedience and gathering around your table, as instructed by our Lord Jesus to do until he returns only, that your grace would be poured out upon our hearts, Lord. That in this act of obedience, we will draw ourselves closer and closer to you. So we give you thanks, Father, for the body that was broken for us, and for the blood that was shed, and the hope that it gives to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we receive our bread and wine, we hold on to it, and then we partake of it together. On the same night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us eat together the body of Christ broken for us. In the same way, also after the supper, Christ took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my blood shed for you." He instructed us to drink it in remembrance of a new covenant, a new promise, a new relationship, a new beginning that's only available for each one of us because of that blood that was shed for us on the cross at Calvary.
Yeah.
Let's drink together then the blood of Christ poured out for us. Just as we draw our service to a close this morning, could I remind you that there will be the opportunity for prayer, if anyone would like it, following the service. Just over behind where the children are at the moment, there's a table, and we'll draw that curtain over a bit, and Martin and Jenny Knapp will be there. And if you've got something that you want to share, or you would appreciate prayer for, please avail yourself of that facility, and refreshment will be served for others downstairs. We're going to close our service today by singing "The Lord's My Shepherd," the newer version of it, 1008, in Complete Mission Praise. And we'll stand to sing as we remember what our shepherd has done for us. Thank you. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And now the peace of